And good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here on the Daily Program.
You're welcome.
Now, this is the ninth time Russia has implemented a veto on this particular investigation in Syria. Could you perhaps explain to us some of the previous vetoes on the issue? Why exactly Russia has been so gung-ho about issuing vetoes when it comes to Syria?
Yes. As you say, it's the ninth veto in relation to Syria, not actually in relation to the joint investigative mechanism, but there is a consistent pattern of preventing Security Council action really on any matter relating to Syria, dating right back to 2011, shortly after the civil war broke out. So they usually they're accompanied by China, but China's vetoed six resolutions, Russia nine. The early resolutions in, say, 2011, 2012 were relatively innocuous. The very early ones would have just said, and it was think back now to before Daesh was involved, when this was just an outright civil war, the early resolutions would have called for a political process to allow the political process to work out and some sort of regime, indirectly, regime change. And of course, that was not acceptable to Russia because of its ally, Syria, and I'll get back to that in a minute. And then a few more resolutions over the next few years dealt with different things. They started getting a bit more robust when, for example, in 2014, as the civil war dragged on then for 3 years, would have been a resolution referring the whole situation to the International Criminal Court without naming names, just, you know, for investigation. And then in 2016, when we, as we recall, Aleppo was being besieged, there were a couple of resolutions that would have allowed for example, a ceasefire by all parties to allow everyone to get help, and particularly the civilian population of Aleppo to escape if they had the chance. They were vetoed. And then this year, again, they've changed topics likely, and this year they've all been on chemical weapons. So the last one was just 2 days ago, the one you were talking about, well, 3 days ago, on the 24th of October. So the joint investigative mechanism was set up by the United Nations and the OPCW, the Organization for the Prohibition on Chemical Weapons. And as you say, it was established to try and find out who is responsible for these attacks. So even though there are many other reports of, oh yes, it's the Syrian government, there is in fact very little objective UN-type investigation results. So there is a fact-finding mission that the OPCW sends out, and they, as chemical experts, determine whether chemicals have been used as weapons. And then the joint investigative mechanism determines who was responsible for using them, and they gather all the evidence that they can. That is one of the things that's being criticized by states like Russia, by saying that their methodology is flawed. So, for example, they're unable to go to most of the sites of these weapons attacks because of the conflict on the ground. So that's used as a criticism for, well, how can you be sure of the evidence if you haven't actually seen it yourself?
I guess so, one of the things... Oh, sorry to interrupt you, Alison. One of the things that confuses me, as you mentioned, this investigation is going on, and Russia may criticize the methodology as the investigation goes on. But why exactly have they vetoed it until the report is actually released? I mean, Russia hasn't been shy about their support for Bashar al-Assad up until this point.
Yeah.
But the results from this report, I mean, are they looking into this report and looking for some reasons not to hold Assad accountable for these attacks due to the alliance?
That's the inevitable conclusion. The reason they gave 2 days ago for refusing to renew the mandate of the mechanism, because it's an annual mandate, was that their next report was due out on this particular incident in 2 days' time. Why don't we wait for the report and then decide whether or not to, or they didn't say that, then decide to renew the mandate. The clear implication being, of course, that if the results of the report were unfavorable to the Assad regime, that might cause problems for the renewal of the mandate. But they didn't say that. They couldn't really. But that is really one of the only conclusions that can be drawn from their unwillingness to act 2 days ago. The other side, what Russia calls the Western Troika in the Security Council, the UK, the US, and France, pointed out a couple of things. First of all, this is supposed to be an independent mechanism free of political interference. So what difference does it make if we have to wait for their report? Clearly, you're actually politicizing it. You're saying that your vote is going to be influenced by the content of the report. And the second point they made was exactly this sort of thing happened last year, with the result that the renewal of the mandate of the mechanism was delayed by several weeks. And in the process, many key staff left because they thought they wouldn't have a job. And they lost about 5 or 6 months of valuable work because it took them that long to get back up to strength and back into their work. So the inevitable conclusion, as I say, has to be that Russia doesn't like the investigative mechanism and wants some reason to be found in the report for saying it shouldn't be renewed. And just one last thing I should add, just in the last hour, that report has been issued. So it's not available online. All I've been able to see is a news report, statements by the United States, which say that the report says that the Assad regime was responsible for those chemical weapons attacks. So that is a fairly big deal, and really today is going to be, I think, headlines about the reaction to that.
One we'll obviously have to keep our eyes on. Alison, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
That was Dr. Alison Peart speaking to